should agree on a list of safe countries where returns are unlikely to put migrants at risk, von der Leyen suggested, also recommending agreements with nations including Bangladesh, Egypt, Pakistan, Morocco, Tunisia, and Nigeria in order to prevent departures in the first place and improve returns where necessary. While the EU previously agreed to restrict visas to countries they considered uncooperative on accepting returned nationals, the only country thus punished so far has been Gambia, whose citizens can no longer obtain multiple entry visas to the EU and must wait longer for those papers. The European Commission has proposed similar penalties for Iraq, Senegal, and Bangladesh, but disagreements among member countries have so far prevented agreement on whether or how to punish anyone else, according to Reuters. EU countries recorded over 330,000 illegal entry attempts last year, border control agency Frontex reported, the most since 2016, on a figure that does not include legal asylum applicants or Ukrainian refugees. More than 80% of these were adult men. Meanwhile, Arab News wrote, while European countries struggle to contain the violence perpetrated by anti-immigrant criminals, including anti-Muslim groups, and deal with the root causes of their violence, little is done to contain their hate speech or Islamophobia. While the overwhelming majority of Europeans reject their violent tactics, the rhetoric is moving from the fringes to the mainstream. Rantings against Islam are gradually becoming common in political campaigns and everyday discourse. This process threatens to normalize hate speech, especially Islamophobia, in many parts of Europe. Confusing incitement with freedom of speech has made it difficult to address this growing threat. However, while freedom of expression is a universal value enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, international agreements have attached duties associated with its exercise. The International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the main human rights instrument adhered to by most countries, seeks to address that balance while it holds that everyone shall have the right to freedom of expression. It adds that the exercise of such a right carries with it special duties and responsibilities. It may therefore be subject to certain restrictions, including for the protection of national security or of public order or of public health or morals. Many countries have included such safeguards in their national laws. While opposition to illegal migration or excessive legal migration is normal and falls within freedom of speech and legitimate political discourse, desecrating the Noble Quran denigrates the faith of about 2 billion people around the world who have nothing to do with these local issues. In the case of Sweden, it has also inflamed ethnic animosities within the country and damaged its reputation and the exercise of its foreign policy, threatening its key security interest. The timing of the recent incident in Stockholm is curious when taking into consideration the geopolitical dimensions, such as the Russia-Ukraine crisis, the changing nature of Sweden's relationship with NATO, and the talks with Turkey on that subject. Such timing raises a question about outside influence on Sweden's Islamophobes and possible foreign manipulation. Christensen condemned the burning of the Noble Quran in Stockholm as deeply disrespectful. He tweeted recently, "Freedom of expression is a fundamental part of democracy, but what is legal is not necessarily appropriate. Burning books that are holy to many is a deeply disrespectful act." He expressed sympathy for all Muslims who are offended by what has happened in Stockholm. Muslim countries and others expressed outrage at the incident, indicating a universal rejection of the desecration of the Noble Quran as a form of protest or political expression. Muslim governments expressed astonishment that the Swedish authorities had allowed it to take place, stressing that freedom of expression must be exercised in a responsible manner. Hundreds of protests have been held worldwide since the incident. Hate groups such as Patriotic Europeans Against Islam, known as Pegida, have done similar things and agitated against Muslims and Islam in other European countries, including burning a copy of the Noble Quran in Amsterdam recently. Since Pegida was founded in Dresden, Germany in 2014, its extremist views have crept into mainstream political discourse, and the far right has made significant political gains in several European countries, including Sweden. Pegida and similar groups have repeatedly incited against Muslims, stoking irrational fears of being overrun by immigrants, especially Muslims. At times, they use the Noble Quran burning as a lightning rod and a tool to attract attention, rally support, recruit new followers, and incite violence.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is Zainab, and today we're going to discuss something very important with Professor Naqavi. Professor Naqavi is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Dear listeners, in this program, we try to answer your questions and issues that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny. Well, Professor Naqavi, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Professor, you know, the children expect a lot and they have their own worldviews. They have all the children are kind of somewhere, one or the other way, little ungrateful, and they need more and more freedom. What do you say about that?
Yes, I thank you very much. I would like to begin this talk of mine in the name of Allah. Actually, one of the issues that our children, teenagers especially, are looking for is freedom. Everyone is talking about freedom. Most of the times, people are referring to this holy verse in the Quran, which says "La ikraha fid din," and they make this a reason for their freedom, and they want to say that Islam or religion does not want to impose itself, so we should be free to do as we wish. Of course, human beings have been given freedom. They are born free. There's no doubt about that. Even if we remember the statement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when he was talking to his murderers at the very end, he said that even if you don't accept deen, then you should be free. فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ. You should be free, freedom-loving people.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? Do we have the freedom to make the wrong choices? No. Does anyone expect us or allow us to say, look, I am free to make the wrong choice? I'm free to make to kill someone? No, that's not the case.
Now, what does that freedom exactly mean? I'll ask you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab with Professor Naqavi. And Professor Naqavi is helping us understand the freedom the children want and the freedom that should be given. Yes, Professor.
So, freedom to make the right choices is there. The right choices which preserve and which guarantee another important aspect and value, that is human dignity. Karamna bani Adam. Allah Almighty says in the Quran that we have given human beings dignity, and we have given them a position in the whole design of creation, a special position which they occupy because they have been created by him by breathing into them from his very soul. So human beings have dignity, and this dignity has to be preserved. And the more human beings are God-fearing, the more people are accepting God's tawheed, and they fear him, and they act according to that fear, their dignity is preserved. So, do we have the right to do something which is opposite to that? Not at all. We have to act freely, but we have to make the correct choices. We have to take the right path, and that which preserves and guarantees that human dignity. Proximity to Allah Almighty is preserving that human dignity. Proximity to Allah Almighty can only be achieved if we make the right choices. Yes, He, Allah Almighty, wants us to be close to Him of our own free will. That is true proximity. Freedom of choice gives us and propels us towards Allah Almighty. It's not like we're not robots. We're not even like angels in the sense that they cannot do anything wrong. They cannot sin at all.
Yeah.
No. Allah Almighty has given us the intellect, just like the angels, and He has given us instincts, just like the animals.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have to balance. And we have to, if we act according to the commands of our intellect, and make a free choice to move towards Allah, we will not only excel, we will surpass the angels.
Yeah.
So that is the true freedom which Islam gives us. Therefore it says, after La ikraha fi al-deen, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ.
Yes.
The right path from the wrong path has been made clear for all.
Yeah.
If you use your minds, you will understand the right path.
Exactly. You remind me of one of the hadith Qudsi in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there's a choice you have, there's my choice. If you submit your choice and will to me, and I will also give you what is your choice and will. If you do not do that, I will make you tired chasing your choice, and ultimately that will happen what is my choice. So in either way, we have to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's what will take us towards proximity. And as Allah says in the very beginning, that if you submit, I'll also provide you what is your choice. So submitting is something that is really important. We'll discuss more on the topic after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, a righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm Zainab with Professor Nagavi. And we are discussing about the freedom that children chant and want and demand. And is their demand okay? Or how much this demand can be fulfilled? Because especially teens, Professor, teens are the ones who ask for this freedom. So you were saying about freedom.
So they, as I said, freedom is making freedom for making the right choices. Now, how do we make the right choice? The Allah Almighty, again, as I said, has given us the intellect. So using the intellect properly is important. We must teach our children to be be intelligent, to be able to discover the truth. They should be, and children, especially teenagers, they are curious. They have questions. They have problems that have to be solved. So we need to be well versed ourselves as parents to give them the proper answers. We should be studying ourselves. We should be making good use of our time by indulging in activities which increases our own knowledge.
So it's not just getting married and having kids. It's all about the process of knowledge.
Exactly.
You have to go on keeping on, like you marry. The first thing you have to do after the marriage, or like before the marriage, is to educate yourself.
Even before that. I mean, if we want to get married, we should know why we're getting married. It's not just for simple physical pleasures that we, of course, we have those. But
that's not everything.
That's not everything. So that is the positive aspect of it. But we need to prepare ourselves and educate ourselves. If we have the proper worldview and we have acquired that worldview, then we can convey it and we can inculcate it into our children. So especially the teenagers, if we're not able to answer their questions, they will be led to the wrong answers by people who influence them. If They are
maybe
not.
Maybe they actually confront someone who has less knowledge.
Exactly. They encounter so many people. They become, for example, they become to respect those people who do not have the proper knowledge, although who
have a wrong worldview.
Exactly, and they have a lot, and they feel impressed by them, and they follow that. But if you, as a parent, have the correct knowledge and you're able to communicate properly with your child, then you can tell him the proper things and he can get his answers from you. And if you cannot able to do that, then you should employ the services of a person who can, the right person to do the thing. And if you don't do that, then you will be facing a problem. We need to make our children realize that freedom is not to make the free. I mean, it's something which is acceptable in society. Does society give you the freedom to harm someone? Does the society give you the freedom to malign someone, or to dishonor someone, or to
disrespect someone? Definitely not.
So no one accepts freedom for the sake of making the wrong choices. And if you freely make a wrong choice, then you will face the punishment. So the same is the case with Islam as a religion. You have to pray of your own free will. You have to pray and fast of your own free will. So the free will has to be there with it, because we say intention, no actions can be rewarded without the pure intentions. And
yeah.
Pure intentions don't come without freedom.
Yeah, indeed. I agree with each and every word of yours. And dear listeners, that all those teens and students listening to us, I would again end the discussion by saying that be very, very grateful to your parents, because throughout our discussion, you get to know how hard it is for parents to actually upbring a child. It's a tough journey. They have to make efforts and at each and every level to upbring you properly. So be grateful to them and your parents. Make all your efforts to make a better and proper upbringing. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any message for us, any questions, any feedback, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also listen to this program again by logging into our official website, which is www.parstoday.ir/en. There's a tab, COI, Call of Islam, wherein you can find our old programs. Well, you can also find us on these social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, on the threshold of the birthday anniversary of Imam Muhammad al-Taghi al-Jawad, peace be upon him, the ninth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, let us hear what he said on hearing when some of the things destined for him did not reach him. Our souls and riches are among the pleasant gifts and the deposited loans of God. who makes us enjoy some of them pleasantly and delightedly, and takes away whatever he wills of rewards and merits. He whose intolerance overcomes his steadfastness will waste his rewards. God protect us against so.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
The tactics against Iran.
Somebody is killing Iranian nuclear scientists. Mostafa Ahmadi Roshan murdered along with his driver in broad daylight in Tehran traffic.
One of Iran's top nuclear scientists has been killed in a car bombing in the capital, Tehran.
Two motorcyclists tracked the car through Tehran's morning rush hour, lobbing a magnetic bomb right at Roshan. A mission that seemed right out of a spy thriller like Syriana.
It has all the earmarks of an Israeli operation, very sophisticated, very particular, and very effective.
People are killing Iranian nuclear scientists in a very clear pattern. Sir, who do you think is behind it?
We believe that these terrorist attacks are supported by some elements in the, especially within the Israeli regime, as well as some quarters around the world.
And what about Israel? What reaction today?
You know, Diane, we've been looking for responses from Israel all day, and where did we find it? Facebook, with the Israeli Defense Force spokesman saying, I don't know who settled the score with the Iranian scientist, but I am certainly not shedding a tear, not exactly a denial there.
Nuclear scientist Dariush Rezainejad was assassinated on the 23rd of July 2011. On the afternoon he died, his wife and five-year-old daughter were in the car with him. He was 32. Fereydoon Abbasi was attacked on the 29th of November 2010 as head of Iran's Atomic Energy Agency on his way to the university where he taught nuclear physics. The 53-year-old survived the attack. He says the fact that Iranian scientists are asked to give so much personal information when they travel speaks volumes in itself. On the same day and at almost exactly the same time, another assassination attack was being launched on the other side of town. 40-year-old Majid Shahriari was the target. He and his wife were on their way to the university where they both taught when a bomb was attached to their car. Shahriari was killed, his wife survived, but with serious injuries. She still bears the scars of that day. She says before the attack, they had received many death threats. In the past years, there have been 5 assassination attacks targeting Iranian nuclear scientists in Iran. 4 were successful and 1 failed. The number of attacks and the way they were launched show a trend. So what entity or entities are responsible for these attacks?
Maximum covert operations to block and disrupt the Iranian program, including taking out their scientists, including breaking up their systems, all of it covertly, all of it deniable. Second, maximum coordination with the Israelis in a way which allows them to maximize their impact in Iran. Third, absolute strategic program comparable to what President Reagan, Pope John Paul II, and Margaret Thatcher did to the Soviet Union, of every possible aspect short of war, of breaking the regime and bringing it down.
Mark Perry is an American intelligence and foreign affairs analyst based in Washington.
These are sophisticated operations. They're not suicide bombings. The most recent incident was a magnetic bomb, so I would say it's clear that it was an outside intelligence agency. And Leon Panetta, our Secretary of Defense, has said he has a pretty good idea of who did it, and I think he was hinting that it was the Israelis.
Iran has been threatened and sanctioned over its nuclear energy program. 5 assassination attacks have been launched on Iranian nuclear scientists, and now the drums of war can be heard coming from the West. So are the countries pressuring Iran really worried about Iran having nuclear power, or is the problem something else?
Get more on this now from our teaser, Peter Oliver. Peter, what exactly did Vladimir Putin say?
Well, he was really addressing his standpoint on key foreign policy issues. Iran was also on the lips of the Prime Minister. For a few years now, we've seen criticism of Russia's decision to build a nuclear power plant in Iran. Vladimir Putin saying this, The allegations that Iran was developing nuclear weapons was being used as an excuse to try and initiate regime change in the country.
Public perception is very important in all this. To take such drastic steps against another country, the nations involved have to be geared up to accept such an event. Iran's nuclear energy program has been the center of a lot of Western media attention. It's been labeled a nuclear weapons program, and Israeli director Alex Trayman has made a documentary called Iranium to brand that label on the public psyche.
Ronald Reagan helped a lot with the collapse of the Soviet Union by calling them an evil empire and saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It's very much in the interests of the people of Iran, as well as all of Iran's neighbors and us, for us to do everything humanly possible to get this regime to collapse before it gets a nuclear weapon.
2 + 2 = 4. Israel feels threatened by Iran. It said it would do anything to protect its country. Unlike the United States, the Mossad does not have a prohibition against assassination. Clearly, they want to be able to react to the Iranian threat in any manner they can, up to and including assassinations.
Israel has kept quiet over the assassination of Iranian scientists, but the US, Israel's staunch supporter, has been quite vocal about the whole thing. US presidential candidates say if that's what it takes, so be it.
You have to take whatever steps are necessary to break its capacity to have a nuclear weapon.
And it appears obvious to me
that the administration is doing little to nothing. Now, I'm hopeful that some of the things we're seeing with respect to the nuclear program that the United States is involved with, which is, on occasion, scientists working on the nuclear program in Iran turn up dead. I think that's a wonderful thing, Kenny. I think we should send a very clear message that if you are a scientist from Russia or from North Korea or from Iran and you're going to work on the nuclear program to develop a nuclear bomb from Iran, you are not safe. And if people say, well, you can't go out and assassinate people, well, tell that to Milwaukee. Okay? We've done it. We've done it for an American citizen.
I want to categorically deny any United States involvement in any kind of act of violence inside Iran.
Various entities are feeding off the political narrative surrounding Iran's nuclear program, from the media to weapons companies. It's a topic that has influenced global prices, is being used as a tool in elections, and even as an excuse for insurance companies that trade in and around Iran to push up prices. And certain groups that have also been fighting against the Iranian government for years have hooked their wagon up to this caravan.
Remember, this all started when we found them enriching uranium in an undeclared fashion. And it happened because somebody told on them. There was an Iranian group that brought forth the information.
A former United Nations weapons inspector in Iraq says Israel and the MKO are collaborating.
The question is, did that information, was it sourced by the MKO itself, or was the MKO used as a vehicle to provide this information to the public? There's reason to believe that in the case of the Natanz information, that this information was actually a product of a third agency, an outside party, Israel, which developed this intelligence, and then Israel used the MKO as the vehicle to spread this information because of the MKO's past record of having intelligence information relevant to the Islamic Republic.
Do you believe that the Israelis are working with the People's Mujahideen of Iran? Do you believe Israel is working with Iranian dissidents?
I would say this. Iran is highly alert to the possibility of Israelis infiltrating it with false identities, trying to kill people, sabotage the Iranian nuclear project. And therefore, it is very hard for Israelis to work in Iran. And it might. That unlike the history of most of the history of Israeli intelligence, where these operations were conducted on a, quote, blue and white principle, which is the colors of the flags of Israel, meaning only Israeli citizens, only Jews participate in such an operation. Maybe in Iran, the case is different because Iran is a different territory and very hard to work in. When you got such a territory, you might think to recruit locals upon your own people.
By its own admission, the West considers all the options to be on the table. Threats, sanctions, assassinations, and now the drums of war. Iran says Western think tanks are employing rather feeble strategies and are grossly mistaken in their calculations regarding Iran and the Iranian nation. Of course, the tactics being used against Iran can only succeed if the international community buys into all the hype and propaganda surrounding Iran.
You take a look at Iran and you realize that there's a number of patterns in place that are the exact replica of what had occurred with Iraq. I realized that the United States was playing the exact same game with Iran, manufacturing an artificial crisis over Iran's nuclear weapons program. And then you have a track record of the United States exaggerating a case of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and now you take a look at the case they're making with Iran, and you realize that the same pattern is at play, that the United States is manufacturing a false premise for confronting Iran. For what reason? Regime change.
Mind you, the international community did just that back in 2001 and 2003, when the West attacked Afghanistan and Iraq. today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear brothers and sisters, salam. And welcome to this episode of today's special under the topic of the moral conduct of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Be with us.
قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبي ولها ولا راغي.
Today, Tuesday, is the 9th of Rajab, the month of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 31st of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, for blessing the first moments of today's special, we listen to Chapter Al-Ahzab, verse 33, and then we look at its point.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا.
And abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance. And establish prayer, and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy
Quran.
Who are the Prophet's family or Ahlul Bayt? There are a lot of traditions recorded in the sources of the Sunnis and the Shiites, which indicate this addresses in the verse are only five persons. They are Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, Imam Ali, Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, Lady Fatima, Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein, peace be upon them all. The book entitled Ihqaq al-Haq introduces more than 70 traditions taken from the famous sources of the Shiite and of the Sunnis, which allocate this verse to the mentioned five persons. Who is a righteous servant of Allah? If we purify our deed and creed for the sake of Allah, definitely it will help us achieve our goal in this world and in the afterworld. The Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny is most sublime example of acting, living, thinking,
fighting and making peace only for the sake of Allah and in the way of Allah. All acts of Holy Prophet, without any exception, were in the way and for the sake of Allah. Imam Ali alayhi salam, also being a true servant of Allah and a staunch follower of the Holy Prophet, followed the example of the Prophet. When Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace be upon them, got sick, the Holy Prophet Muhammad and a group of his followers suggested to Imam Ali to vow to hold fast for 3 days for their health to improve. After they were healed, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, fulfilled his vow but denoted the iftar. Iftar means the food eaten after a day-long fasting of all his 3 days to needy people who came to them for help.
The Imam alayhi salam was also, as I said, people who are very knowledgeable, they're not very social. Usually they're not very social. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, his knowledge, we can't even comprehend it. On his deathbed, saluni, saluni, qabla an tafqutuni. Ask me before you lose me. سَلُونِ عَنْ طُرُقِ السَّمَاءِ أَنَا أَعْلَمُ بِهَا مِنْ طُرُقِ الْأَرْضِ. Ask me about the paths of the heavens because I'm even more familiar with them than the paths of the earth. There was a conversation between Amir al-Mu'mineen and Umar ibn al-Khattab. Umar ibn al-Khattab, one day he says to Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ya Ali, I've noticed that whenever someone asks you a question, any question, you immediately respond. Then you know the answer right away. How is that? It doesn't even seem like you need to think. They can ask you the most detailed jurisprudential, theological question, a question relating to an ayah in the Quran, immediately you have the answer. How is that possible? Amir al-Mu'mineen, he raises his hands. He asks Umar, how many fingers do you see? Umar said, 5. The Imam alayhi salam says, why did you answer right away? Umar says, because I can clearly see that you have 5 fingers. Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, this is how all knowledge is to me. علمني رسول الله ألف باب من العلم يفتح لي من كل باب ألف باب. My beloved Rasulullah taught me 1,000 doors of knowledge. Each door opens up 1,000 more doors. Amir al-Mu'mineen is an ocean. You would think someone like that, you can't even approach them. Have you been to some schools? Some professors, because he has a PhD, oof, if you don't call him doctor, they'll flip out. They're not approachable.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
From the life lessons from Nahjul Balagha, we reach to being steadfast in your religion. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, mountains may move from their position, but you should not move from yours. Grit your teeth, lend to Allah your head. Plant your feet firmly on the ground. This was said in the Battle of Jamal by Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Such powerful words for such a momentous occasion. Xmas party coming up, a peer pressure at university, pressurizing you to bend your principles to fit into the norm. Don't be scared to say no.
علي 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 حيدر 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 علي 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 حيدر حيدر حيدر
علي 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 حيدر 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 علي 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 حيدر 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 علي 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 حيدر حيدر حيدر
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. In this part, we'll look at the policy-making features in the mannerism of Imam Ali alayhi salam. One of these features is, in politics, he would never resort to lying. Another characteristic of the political behavior of the commander of the faithful Imam Ali alayhi salam was that he did not resort to oppressing people, telling lies, and carrying out oppressive measures. At the beginning of the commander of the faithful's caliphate, some people said to him that he should show some consideration for the influential personalities in society and that he should give them a larger share of public funds. They say, "Do not make them disobey you. Rather, you should attract their hearts." He replied, "Do you command me to achieve victory through oppression? By Allah, I won't do so. As long as the world goes on, and as long as one star leads to another in the sky." It was not possible for the commander of the faithful to make friends through a display of oppression and by adopting incorrect and non-Islamic methods.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, according to an authentic hadith, he said, "Aliyun ma'al haq wal haq ma'a Ali." Look at Ali ibn Abi Talib and what he does and what he says, and automatically you know it's the truth. You don't have to tire yourself and go find out what the truth is. You saw what Ali ibn Abi Talib did? That is the truth. These are not my words. These are the words of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. Hence, in another hadith, what did the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, say to Ammar ibn Yasir? He tells him, "Oh Ammar, if you see people going into one valley, they're taking one path, all the people taking one path, and you see Ali ibn Abi Talib taking another path, which one do you go with?" Go with Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam. This is the man whom the Prophet, peace be upon him, wanted to lead the ummah. This is the man whom he prepared to lead humanity, because Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is the symbol of humanity. You cannot find humanity in any entity, in any person, in any human being besides the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, like you find in Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. This is the end of this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And as you know, we spoke about the justice of Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Inshallah, we meet you soon on the next episode. And till then, fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi. علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
حيدر حيدر حيدر
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.